Hi, welcome to the very fantastic Discoveries podcast with your host, Juggie Farmer.
This is Very Fantastic Discoveries, and I am your host, Juggie Farmer. Continuing the pattern of alternating between books and mythology, today will be a couple of stories from Greek mythology. Even though, as I explained in a Norse mythology episode, I will not become a clone of the Myths and Legends podcast. Also, at the end of the episode, we will once again be joined by my dad, Dylan Fulmer. Let's get started. The first story that we will talk about for today is the story of Arachne. Because of her story, we get the word arachnid. You will see why when we are done with this story. In ancient Greece, the story goes that there was a weaver named Arachne. Her tapestries were so beautiful that people came from far and wide to see them. However, Arachne was vain and also had a case of what the ancient Greeks called hubris. She claimed that her weavings were better than the weavings of the goddess Athena. Now, if you've listened to my previous mythology episodes, you know that it is not a good idea to get the gods mad for any reason whatsoever. When the Titans threatened the Olympians, Zeus revolted and shut them in the pit of Tartarus after a long and brutal war. And in Norse mythology, when Odin and his brothers were threatened by Ymir and the Jotuns, they killed Ymir, made the earth out of his body, and drowned most of his brood and a giant cow in the oceans of his blood. As you see, you do not mess with the gods, Greek mythology, or otherwise. When Arachne challenged Athena, her fate was sealed. They both wove their tapestries, and both were beautiful. Arachne was proud, and Athena was angry. There are several versions of what happens next. In all versions, though, the end result was Athena turning Arachne into the first spider so she could spin her tapestries without upsetting any more gods. That is how we get arachnid to refer to a spider and some others. The next story for today is that of King Midas. Now, I'm sure you all know the story of King Midas and the Gold Touch, but there is another part of King Midas's life that is slightly less well known, at least to many people. After the Gold Touch fiasco, King Midas was asked to judge a contest between a satyr, which is basically a half-goat, half-man, and the god of music, light, and temporarily the sun, Apollo. Some history on Apollo is that he was born to the woman Leto on a rocky island because Hera didn't want Leto giving birth to Apollo and his sister Artemis anywhere, but Poseidon found a loophole and Apollo was born on the rocky island. He, as a baby, fought the monstrous serpent oracle named Python that had followed his mother Leto before she was able to give birth. He had won and was now the caretaker of the oracle. The satyr was equipped with a flute that Athena had tossed down from Mount Olympus because she thought she would look silly when she played it. Apollo, meanwhile, had his lyre, a gift from the god Hermes as compensation for stealing Apollo's cows. Satyr and god played their instruments skillfully, but Midas chose the satyr. Apollo was furious, and using his ancient magic, he made the ears of a donkey grow on the head of King Midas because Apollo thought he was best. The satyr, meanwhile, was punished in a way too gruesome to be said here. Even though King Midas tried to cover up the fact that Apollo had given him donkey ears, it was eventually found out, and Midas committed suicide out of embarrassment. The message of this is non tatum cum dirum. In Latin, this means never mess with the gods. If you do not wish to be turned into an arachnid, have donkey ears growing from your head, get turned into a dolphin, have the whole city blown off the map because of your foolishness, or go mad and have to go on 12 famous labors to compensate for your crimes you did while going mad, etc., I suggest you write this on your wall in permanent marker and live by it. Now joining us is my dad and our new regular guest on the show, Dylan Fulber. Hi, Daddy.
Hey, Drinky. How's it going?
Good.
So which of the two stories that you shared today between Arachne and King Midas is the more interesting to you?
I think both are equally interesting, but both do have that moral, never mess with the gods.
True. So, it seemed like in both cases, though, I wonder if it was the gods themselves that were sort of felt threatened by these mortals, or if they felt just like the mortals were bugs and they needed to get rid of them. What do you think?
Probably the second.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So you don't think that Arachne was actually a better weaver than Athena was?
In the story it says that she was a better weaver, but yeah, Athena got angry because...
Okay. So Athena was actually angry because Arachne was better than her?
Yeah, but also that she was boasting and bragging about it, too.
Gotcha. So, what do you think... We were watching something the other day about, like, why myths came into place in the first place.
And, yeah, myths and the monsters.
Right. And so, my understanding of this has always been that myths and mythological stories come about because people want to explain the world around them, right?
In that story, it was probably explaining why spiders weave webs and stuff.
Right, but it was more than that, though, right?
Yeah.
It had a morality tale, too, right?
Yeah.
So what was the morality tale, again? You said there was a theme of this episode.
Never mess with the gods.
Never mess with the gods. So why do you think that was? Why do you think that they wanted to reinforce this notion of never mess with the gods?
Because I'm not sure, but I know that the gods were depicted as higher than mortals in some ways, but mostly in some ways not.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
do you think it had anything to do with the fact that the gods were sort of like authority figures? And the people writing the myths were saying you shouldn't mess with the authority figures?
Yeah,
but... Do you think there's anything to that?
Maybe, but in the stories, the gods have many, many things to improve on.
Such as
when Hephaestus was born, his mom and dad threw him off a mountain because he looked ugly.
What?
And
very charitable.
And also, while we're on that subject, Zeus cheats on his wife every day. And
I think you mentioned that in your other Greek mythology.
Yeah,
episode.
but really, and that was why Hera was so vengeful against Heracles.
Mm-hmm.
And also, while we are on the subject of Zeus and his wives, he tricked Hera into becoming his wife in the first place, too. Oh,
really? That's interesting. But we must digress. We must get back to the topic. So, we've talked a little bit about Arachne, and so you mentioned that the intention was probably to explain why spiders came about and why they weaved webs. What do you think the overlying or the underlying message of the King Midas story is?
I don't know because I don't know anybody who has donkey ears.
True. From other things that you know about Apollo, again, the question is, do you think Apollo felt threatened by... Well, no, in this case, do you think he felt threatened by the satyr?
Satyr,
or do you think he just didn't like King Midas's judgment on the topic of who was the better musician?
He did not like King Midas's judgment, I don't think.
Right. What else? Anything else? Oh, so you had mentioned also that the satyr met a fate that you couldn't talk about in this podcast. We're all friends here. Come on. Tell me. What happened to him?
Apollo flayed the skin off him.
Flayed the skin off him.
Yes.
That doesn't sound very charitable at all.
Yes.
That sounds very gruesome to you, Jiggy.
Yes.
So Apollo doesn't seem like a very nice guy. He seems very insecure. Like, if you knew you were talented, if you knew you had godlike abilities, why would you care what some king said about your musical ability, right? He seems very insecure, don't you think?
Yeah.
So what else about Apollo fits in that mold? Is there anything else about Apollo that you can mention that is either good or bad about him?
So I remember this story that might not relate, but there's this story where there was this woman who said that since she had more children than Leto had, since Leto had just Apollo and Artemis, and she had 14 children, that she should be proclaimed better than Leto. And Apollo and Artemis, in fits of rage, came down from the heavens and shot all her kids dead with bows and arrows.
What?
Yeah.
That's crazy. These gods seem super duper vengeful.
Exactly.
So, again, the moral of the story is...
never mess with the gods.
All right, so Jungi, thank you again for another great conversation, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
So do I. That's all the time we have for now. Thanks for listening to Very Fantastic Discoveries with me, Jungi Fulmer. For next time, we will be talking about a story from Norse mythology where, because of the simple prank played by Loki, the Norse gods got a lot of useful items, including golden Rapunzel-like hair, a spear that would never miss its mark, and the famous hammer of Thor. See you then!